Western Bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say, "Brandy, fetch another round." She serves them whiskey and wine. The sailors say, "Brandy, a braided chain."
Live from somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
And we're going to talk with our guest David Wolf in just a moment about the foods we eat and our health. How do they both tie in? And next hour, of course, as promised, we'll take your phone calls as well by the shape of the fast blasts that are coming in. People are hitting your website, David Wolf, pretty heavily right now. Good thing they're not getting calories when they go to your website, or they'll really be overweight. Back in a moment. David, let's talk a little bit about the kinds of food you eat for your health. Is there any doubt in your mind that the hardening of the arteries is a major cause because of the bad food that people eat?
It's 100% correlated. That's what causes heart disease. I mean, on a physical level, it's cooked oil, it's cooked rancid fats from animals and vegetables, both. And what we're talking about here is, let's get back to original basic stuff. What's that? Raw food.
I was watching a program just last week about an individual who ate a certain fast food for 1 month, 30 days, and he ate it for breakfast, he ate it for lunch, he ate it for dinner, he ate it for snacks, all kinds of stuff. He gained weight, but even frightening, his health started to deteriorate so quickly that doctors were afraid of his health. They thought something could happen to him. That's in just 1 month, David.
People ask me, they come up and they say, "How can people still be alive eating what they're eating?" And to tell you the truth, I have no idea. I'm amazed. The human body's resilient. What the number one cause of our health problems in this country, in America, is our poor food quality, is our poor food choices. And it can be changed. We have all the technology, all the information to change it if we want to. If a core group of 5 million people, 10 million people get together and say, "Look, we're going organic, we're going to eat as much raw food as we can, we're going to enjoy our food for once instead of eating it with guilt, and we're going to eat the food that's mineral-rich." And that's the key thing here about health, George, is that mineral-rich food provides health. Mineral-rich food has more vitamins, has more enzymes, has more nutrients, has more antioxidants. That's the key factor. Once the soil is demineralized, once it loses its minerals, like what's happened in the Midwest, then we have lost the consciousness of our nation and we've lost the health of our nation. And those two things are related.
Does it hurt if somebody goes astray once in a while and eats the steak, a big chicken dinner, a whole plate of spaghetti, maybe a pizza, once in a blue moon, maybe once a week? Does that hurt?
Well, I think everybody's, you know what the old saying is, George, is a little of what you fancy does you good. And I'm a big believer in that. I really think that's true. And see, if you get too dogmatic about anything, then the universe starts slapping you. And that's happened to me. So I've kind of eased up over the years. It's just like, just enjoy what you're eating. Eat the best quality food you possibly can. Eat as much raw food as you can. Eat as much plants as you can instead of animals. So see, the thing about this animal food thing is that, okay, our ancestors ate buffalo, whatever. They ate all that stuff. But the dioxin, for example, PCBs, are migrating up the food chain and are found most predominantly, for example, in dairy products. They're found in freshwater fish, in animal food, because it's right at the top of the food chain. So we've got to go more to the basis of the food chain to get food that's less contaminated.
If you had a choice or a chance to change anything in terms of people's diet, what would you do? If somebody came to you and obviously had a nutritional problem, what would you start doing right away for them?
It depends on the person, but there's two things. One is get them on vegetable juice, fresh vegetable juice. What's that? Celery apple juice, simple stuff. Celery apple carrot juice. Carrot.
Is that all one?
Yeah, you just put that in one. You get one of those old cheapo juicers you can get for $5 at a garage sale, or the one that's in your cabinet that you haven't used in 20 years, right? You just get that thing out. You throw a stick of celery in there, maybe 3-4 sticks of celery. You throw an apple in there, right? If you're a truck driver, you get one of those things you can plug right into your truck, and you do it right there, and then you get that fresh juice and you start drinking it. And vegetable juice, well, it's like liquid plumber. I mean, what's the big problem we have today? It's not some war over there. It's not the economy. It's not crime. It's constipation. That's the big issue, right? You go to Washington, D.C., if we got a colon hydrotherapist or someone to get those people cleaned out there in Washington, what would happen? Well, we know that those politicians are full of what? You see what I'm saying?
Onward to the next topic. I have
the second part of that, by the way, is superfoods. I start putting superfoods in their diet: spirulina, blue green algae, hemp seed, goji berries. My God, you know, that's the berry that these people live to 200 years who live in a cave in China.
Is pasta any good?
No, you're better off eating like steak. You know, tell you honestly, I know it's a plant, right? It's made out of wheat, but people are really allergic to wheat.
Well, what if you're not?
Well, see, a lot of people are, and they don't know it. So you got to get tested for food allergies. Wheat allergies is the number two allergy there is behind dairy. And if you're allergic to it, you may not know it, and you might be having an inflammatory response every time you eat. And this is what could be causing fatigue.
I didn't know that. So that fatigue would be a symptom?
Yeah, fatigue's a symptom. Digestive bloating is a symptom. Ear aches are a symptom. Dryness in the mouth after eating is a symptom. So people react in different ways to different food, and one person's poison is another person's panacea. Another person's panacea is another person's poison. So we gotta get out of the mold of like burgers and fries and all that, and get onto new stuff, real food, or raw organic food. And there's a ton of it. I mean, there's over 2,000 varieties of apples out there. I mean, I'm a connoisseur of this kind of stuff. I've probably had 45 different apples in my life.
All right, one of my favorite snacks, and you're going to shoot me down on this one. Pickles.
Pickles? Yeah, I'm not going to knock pickles.
You're not going to knock?
I'm not going to knock pickles, no. Yeah, I'm going to go with that one. I think that women who are pregnant and want to eat pickles, I think there's a reason for it. And there's a couple. One of them is that it has a lot of acid in it, right? The vinegar. That's really powerful digestive aid, and vinegar in general is an appetite suppressant, and it cleans your blood out.
I guess it could be high in sodium because it's pickled.
And that's where you go for quality on the pickles, right? So that's the side where you shop for quality. You got to get the right kind of sodium. What's the right kind? You got to get sea salt or a full mineral spectrum rock salt. You can't have this iodized, kiln dried destructive salt that's used as a preservative.
Most of what you're saying tonight, is it purely common sense?
It's you know what, this is the word that I use, George. I think it's on the money. Ruthless common sense. I mean, there's something about raw food nutrition. You just be able to, you can see the BS from the truth in a, it's really like the Matrix. And I know, it's probably an overused metaphor, but you start seeing stuff for what's really going on. I mean, people become aware when they get onto raw food. Why? Because this is like Mother Nature's food. It's like the food that was originally intended for us. And all of a sudden, all the old stuff is stripped away. People get the soot out. We call it liquid plumber, right? Actually having bowel movements, stuff moving out. And then you start getting clear. Your consciousness becomes clear. Your awareness, your point of view.
Are you saying eating well is like a psychedelic?
Yes, I am saying that, and I'm definitely saying that. I think one of the great things about raw food nutrition is it allows you to look at yourself as if in a mirror and start to look at what's out of balance and what's in balance. Psychedelics do the same thing. So in some way, they are related.
Now, here's interesting. You go to Google. You type up COCAO, that bean, right? Cacao bean.
Uh-huh.
And you know what it does? Though some things will come up, you know how it always tries to correct you with, did you mean? It says, did you mean cocoa bean?
Ah.
Isn't that interesting?
That's interesting. Again, you know, I use cacao, C-A-C-A-O, because it's the real name. And I love the ancient, like, Mayan culture and Aztec culture, and that's where this stuff comes from.
Interesting. I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that out along with the honey, and I'll make a full report to our Coast audience.
Cool.
And see. Now, what should happen if I try that? Not exclusively as a diet, but let's say once a day, a little of that, a little honey and a little bit of those beans. What's going to happen to me?
Well, the one thing is you're going to get a real chocolate experience, which is chocolate is happy food. It's fun food. If you don't get chocolate for your girlfriend or wife on Valentine's Day, I mean, you know, something's wrong. It's love food. It's heart food. It's heart medicine. And you'll feel that. You'll feel like, damn, there's something going on with this food. This food is actually doing something to my brain. You'll feel it affect your cardiovascular system. You'll see that it affects your love life a little bit.
I'll eat six of these. How do you know you're getting the right ones?
This is what you want to look for with cacao beans. You want to look for, you don't want to have any white or any dirt on the cacao bean. I've seen that out there where you rub your fingers on it and there's dirt on it. It's like dirty.
Yeah.
That's one thing you want to avoid. You want to go for the ones that have purple hues in it. See, interestingly enough, cacao naturally is purple. It's purple, and then as the seed starts to change through sprouting, it turns brown. And cacao is highly reactive, so when they break it out of the fruit and they open it up in the jungle, it starts to sprout, so it turns brown. But the more purple it is, the better. And that indicates, by the way, the purple oils in chocolate indicate that it's a likely contender to contain monoatomic elements. If you know that about the exotic mineral world or alchemy.
Like the white powder of gold?
Yeah, exactly, like white powder of gold, white powder of iridium, white powder of rhodium. These are kind of like stealth atoms that exist in nature that disguise themselves as other atoms. For example, they'll disguise themselves as carbon, except for this one fact. They resist attack by hydrochloric acid, nitric acid, perchloric acid, etc. And I've done this actually in the laboratory. I've been working with this for like 10 years. And it's really interesting to see this phenomenon where you convert gold, you say, using the sodium burn method, which I've done, burning sodium metal on gold. And I'm not going to go into the details of how to do that. It's very dangerous. You have to be careful. But when you convert gold back into a powder, it resists attack by acids. Regular gold is going to go up in an acid. It's going to become a gold chloride. So the liquid will turn yellow. But this stuff remains a stone. Very interesting stuff, and it's in our food, and cacao is one of the foods that contains it.
The white powder of gold may have been one of the most powerful elements to eat, I believe, and they did it a lot in those older days. They don't do it that much now, right?
Yeah, well, see, there's a lot of this stuff on the web out there, and I've done, again, 10 years of research in this field, and most 99% of what's sold in those little vials that say white powder of gold is silicic acid. It's not monoatomic gold. But there is some monoatomic gold in there. It's 1 or 2% of what's there, and it is enough to get an effect. But the silicic acid is essentially sand, and you don't want to be eating sand.
No, and there's no regulations for this, though, is there?
There isn't. There isn't. So that's why you got to be clever. And it's this whole field of food, you got to get educated. This is important stuff. I mean, this is what you're putting in your mouth every day. What we're putting in our mouth is becoming us, right? That you are what you eat it's like a zip file. You know what I mean by that, James?
Yeah,
like,
no, I do. I agree with that.
You eat, like, you put what, it's like when you put the right food in your body, it opens up and becomes something else. You are what you eat. It transforms. If you put unique, high-quality ingredients in, raw ingredients, superfood ingredients, goji berry, whatever it is, you feel that in your body, and it transforms you. It transforms your appearance, your awareness. Here's a little thing we haven't gotten into, psychic abilities, psychic awareness. I'm good friends with Uri Geller, right? The guy who bends spoons, you know about him.
Oh, yeah, he's been on the show twice already.
Okay. I've been to his house, and by the way, let me tell you, that spoon bending thing is real. He did it right in front of me, and then he put the spoon in my hand. It was still bending in my hand.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
He was in St. Louis here.
Yeah.
He's been a vegetarian 30 years. He wanted to find out about raw food nutrition, so I went over to his house in London. We had a blast. And how we got connected, it has something to do when your consciousness gets clear, you start being able to tune into psychic impressions or something. You know, something changes in this regard. Synchronicity, maybe, that's it.
Oh, I think you're right. There was no question about it that if you eat right and feel good, it changes everything. And you know what's one of the reasons we did this show with you tonight, David, because it is a little off the cusp from what we do. You know, it's not paranormal, it's not mysterious, it's not ghosts, but I have been, over the last year and a half, receiving an incredible amount of emails from people who just don't feel right.
Uh-huh.
We don't know the causes, quite frankly. You know, we have had theories of people spraying things on us, people with tremendous respiratory problems. So we decided, you know what, let's do at least a segment on food, and we found you, of course. Let's do a segment in a full program on that, because maybe, just maybe, that could be one of the reasons why people that are listening tonight, and there are millions, just don't feel 100%. And I think there's a lot to it, and you obviously do too.
I completely feel that is the major factor. I mean, obviously there's the chemtrails and
yes.
They're spraying malathion in New York City, and you know it's crazy what's going on. But what we're putting inside our body is a huge thing in the way we feel. And that's kind of, you know, see, I grew up in a family of medical doctors. Both my mom and dad are medical doctors. And I've seen, you know, the medical profession, I mean, they're, you know, to put it mildly, they're out to lunch. They don't get this idea that, hey, what you're eating is affecting how you're feeling and is affecting your health. I mean, that's the limit case of common sense. You know what I mean?
I've got a friend, and she will, for 6 days a week, eat as good as you probably do, David. But then on that one day, she calls it her cheat day. And she blitzes. Is that fair? Should she do that, or is she destroying what she did in those other 6 days?
Well, it depends on what's going on inside her body. If she's eating that on the weekend, let's say on a Saturday, right, going out Saturday night, having a good old party, but those effects are lingering into Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
then it's become abusive, right? So there's a kind of, you know, there's like, hey, everybody's got to have their fun, have their party, but when it becomes abusive, where you're like hungover for a day or two, and you can't really get the job done, right? You're not you're not on it. Then I think we got to really look into what's really behind it. And I think a lot of times it's psychological, emotional issues with like mom or dad or husband, wife, kids, whatever.
Can you take baby steps with this kind of process, this kind of procedure, where maybe you do one day of what you're talking about and try to inch toward the second day and maybe the third day until you begin to train yourself? Because for a lot of people, including me, it's going to be pretty hard to cut and immediately and to go into this totally different system.
Yeah, well, one thing is you've got to be motivated from the core, knowing like, hey, I'm not going to be, you know, people are obviously aware of like the money scams and all the scams that are going on, but the food scam is up there with them all, if not superior to them all, in the way that people are duped. And it's like, look, we got to get on top of this. So how do you do it? Well, just walk into an organic food store. Just start showing up there. Even if you don't know what the heck you're doing, start buying produce. Even if you never even heard of like persimmons before, just buy them because you never had it before. And what happens is, if just being around that, you know what, who you hang out with is who you become. You start picking it up through osmosis. And you do baby steps. I mean, that's how I got here. You know what I mean? I started out with just, I stopped the dairy products. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, let me read this book. Oh, I should stop eating that too. I should add this into my diet. I shouldn't do that anymore. I should add this. I really think, George, that if you add things in versus take things out, you're better off. Because
So you're not opposed to someone doing day one of seven, and then maybe in a few weeks, day two, and so on.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because if you start telling people, don't eat that, guess what people want to do?
They're going to eat it.
They want that. That's human nature. So what you got to do is you got to show them how they could feel good eating the other stuff. And then they automatically, just through the pain-pleasure principle, want the stuff that's pleasurable. here's what's interesting about raw food, and this is a shocking kind of truth. It's so damn pleasurable. It's amazing. I mean, if you think about something like avocado, most people go, you know, what could be pleasurable about an avocado? But when you're into this, as far as I'm into it, you realize that, you know, pizza crust, that's completely bland, has no taste whatsoever, but avocado is rich, it's oily, it's fatty, it's like butter, it's, my God, you know, it's hard to find a food as good as this. Olives, you know, come on, this is gourmet food. Honey, some of the honeys that are available, outrageous. We have choices.
Would you take just organic honey?
Yeah, I only do organic raw honey where the bees are treated properly. We got a blight, by the way, hitting our bee crops recently.
That's what I heard. It's huge. Stay with us, David. Back in a moment. Fast Night here in the Cave in St. Louis.
Sign up now for Streamlink, now with podcasting. Get it today at coasttocoastam.com. Gateway to the West. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Indeed it is. Filament Book Club, that is available to you, and let me tell you what they will give you. Of course, they have a whole bunch of electronic books that you can download and grab. However, what they want you to get is their free electronic book. It's like a small computer. When you become a member of the Filament Book Club, a couple ways to do that: on the coasttocoastam.com website, go down and look right there at the bottom of the page where it says Filament, F-I-L-A-M-E-N-T, filamentbookclub.com, or call this toll-free number, 1-888-95-EBOOK, 1-888-95-EBOOK. David, what do you think about taking herbs in addition to all these things we've talked about tonight?
Oh, I think herbalism is an advanced, amazing science, and I think herbal teas and that kind of thing is a great addition, and that's really that's medicine. That's the ultimate form of medicine, and it's also a great way to protect yourself. If you're traveling, you know, if you're, if I travel a lot in the tropics, I like to have herbal teas with me just because you got to have a little extra there. So there's a lot more stuff in the environment, parasites and whatever.
Fungus. All right, let's talk a little bit about something I wanted to wait until the end here. It's called water. so many people are getting different kinds of water. And let me mention three things. One, you go to a restaurant, they ask you if you want carbonated or flat water. But a couple months ago, I had a doctor on. We're talking about this disease that's out there. I don't know if you've heard of it, called Morgellons disease.
I have not heard of that.
His theory is, it's a very strange affliction, but his theory is that some bottled water, primarily from France, has some of these parasites in it. And, you know, and it was his warning for people just to watch out for that. But what's your take on water?
This is the biggest resource for the future, and I have intensely, I'm talking massively, studied this subject for a number of years, gone to all the sacred water sites in North America that I could possibly find, meaning hiking to the spring water sources, river waters, just checking out the whole energy of water and really what it's all about, and reading a lot on the subject. And what I've concluded through a combination of my studies on alchemy, Victor Schauberger's work, and just my own conclusions, is that the best water for you is water that you drink yourself, that you go get yourself at the spring source. And that is available if you really seek it out. Now, it may be easier for some than others. Spring water is balanced between the mother and father energies. And what I mean by that is that, like the sun, that's kind of father, atmosphere is father, and then earth energies, that's mother. And we got to have a water that's balanced there. Meaning, if you have too much rainwater, this happens to people in Hawaii where they drink in rainwater all the time, you can get really unbalanced from it. You get too much of the atmospheric energies or the sun energies, and that's unbalancing. If you do too much well water, you get the opposite problem, which is you get too much mother energies, too much minerals, and your body can't process it, and you get calcified or get too much iron. An idea you could do if you have a well at your house, you can get a filter, reverse osmosis. That way you're not getting that mineral problem, but you're still getting water that's somewhat natural. It's coming out of the earth. Piped water that's coming into cities, even if it's cleaned up, you know, through reverse osmosis and various filtration systems, is really problematic because it's been corrupted by piping and pressurization, which destroys the energy of water. Water is a living organism, just like a plant or a tree or a human or anything else, and it needs to be treated appropriately, and the ancients did treat it appropriately. That's why the Romans built aqueducts. They didn't drink out of the Tiber River. Why not? They would have aqueducts coming from mountain spring sources all the way into the city. That's amazing. I mean, we don't even think about that today because we've lost touch with this. Water that is coming out of a spring naturally it embodies the balance of the mother and father energies, and it's kind of endowed with Creator's original intent. That's probably the best way I can really say it. It's waters of the original creation, and it puts you in touch with how we're supposed to be living.
Have you seen some of the work of Dr. Emoto with water? It's amazing.
It's amazing, and this is a big part of water, blessing the water, putting words. I mean, ever since I read that book, right, it's like you got to write love on your water and hope and trust and faith and honesty, whatever.
play good
music. Information has changed my life.
And there's no doubt that we also are what we drink. And if you drink yourself to death, we know what the outcome is with something like that. How do you know if you're dehydrated?
Well, you may not know. And one of the ways you can know is if you feel hungry, drink water, and see if the hunger goes away. Because a lot of times people are drinking or they're actually eating when they're thirsty. And a hunger pang is often your body's call for water, not food. So that's a good way to check in with that. One thing I recommend is drinking about a liter of water first thing in the morning, the best water you can find, write love on your water bottle, the word love, and then squeeze a lemon in there. Now, one of the things that you hear contradicting information about is, should the water be alkaline or acid? Have you heard about this?
No.
Well, there's different conflicting things about this. Acid water is more hydrating, meaning I'm not talking about putting acids in the water. I'm putting lemon juice in the water or lime juice in the water. And you'll notice that automatically allows the water to enter your cells better. And people do it intuitively, almost instinctively. And then I would also recommend, if you're not sure of the water quality, add a little bit of a sea salt or a full spectrum rock salt to the water to give it some information, to give it some mineral information. That's probably the best word I can use is information there.
So what kind of water do you drink?
I really like Trinity Springs water, and I was talking. It's funny you bring this up because I was talking with them today. I really want their water in glass, and I got the guy today, and I was like, "Look, man, you got to get this stuff in glass. We can't have this plastic around the planet anymore. People don't want it anymore. They want glass, and they're onto it. So they're gonna do that next year and get the whole glass line out, and it's pretty exciting because, see, some of these companies like Trinity Springs Water doesn't have pressurized bottling. When you pressurize spring water, you screw up the data that's in the water. I mean, see, water is an information collector. The latest thing in microprocessors is they're trying to get rid of all silicon chips and putting a drop of water in there. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, that I have.
And so then they program the water with information, and they can extract the information out of the water because water can hold nearly an infinite amount of information. But when you pressurize it, heat it, boil it, broil it, send it through copper pipes, then it starts losing that.
I drink distilled water once in a while, but also tell me a little bit about these filters that are in new refrigerators. Do they help?
Yeah, well, it's better. Yeah, it depends. I mean, I'm really, George, I really don't feel like water that's coming out of a city pipe or a town pipe, meaning what's piped into your house, is really drinkable. Well water, if you use a reverse osmosis system, great. If you get spring water in glass, great. If you can go to the source where the spring is, which I do whenever I can, that's really the best thing you can do. And it is a subtle difference, but it does affect your awareness. And I really feel like water teaches you something. It's like, you know, it's like food teaches you something. Every food has its own information. You know, if you it cleans you out.
How can you trust the water source? How do we know we're getting what we're supposed to?
That's a good question. See, that's one of the reasons why I like companies like Trinity Waters, because they'll take you right to their bottling facility and you can see everything. They don't hide anything. And if you're really into a certain type of water, whatever it is, you know, there's tons of them out there, call them up and say, hey, I want to come check out your plant. I want to see your whole operation. If they hide it from you, then I'd be a little concerned. One of the great things about going to a spring water setup where the spring is naturally coming out of the water or coming out of the ground is that this is nature's natural filtration process. So, you know, even if there's stuff going on farms nearby, hey, it's being filtered through the earth. That's, you know, that's the carbon. It's being pulled through the carbon. It's a carbon, natural carbon filter that the earth is naturally. So the spring water is going to be likely the cleanest water you can find around.
So you would still drink water if you were drinking these juices that you just talked about?
Yeah, I found, George, that my water intake really, really decreased when I became a raw foodist, but I still drink about probably a little bit less than a liter of water per day, and I try to make it the highest quality water possible, and I really only drink in the first thing in the morning, and that's it.
And again, talk about vitamin supplements for a moment, because I've been a big proponent of that all these years.
Well, I think that's a good thing for beginners, but what's the best source of vitamins and all the goodies, minerals and everything? It's high-quality food. A friend of mine, when I was in eighth grade, he did a science project in putting vitamin supplements into his plants in his garden, and he ended up winning like second in the state because guess what happened? His plants went berserk. They exploded because plants can absorb it better, and that's an option.
But it won't hurt you if you take a supplement.
It depends on the quality. I mean, some supplements are going right through people, and you know, I don't think you're recommending that kind of quality where it's like hard as a rock and your body can't digest it. You want to go for stuff that's quality whenever possible and digestible. You got to consider, hey, your body's got to turn it into a liquid, right? So, my God, some of this stuff, you know, to turn this hard ball or this hard little capsule into a liquid is not easy. So consider
that. That's true. How long does it take before people begin to see the effects of this?
I think the first day you drink vegetable juice, the first day you start doing celery and apple, say 4 sticks of celery, 1 apple. 1 sprig of parsley, 4 sticks of celery, and an apple and a carrot. You will feel immediate results with that kind of a thing. The long-range benefits usually take about, you know, a couple weeks to a few months, and what you notice is that there's no downtime. Your immune system is better, you feel stronger, you're never feeling depressed. I mean, this is an epidemic these days, this depression thing.
Yeah.
It's caused by food. It's caused by food that's treated with greed. It's caused by food that's missing certain amino acids. This is a big deal because this high protein thing that they're telling everyone, like you got to eat this meat for protein, this is actually incorrect. And the reason is because, yeah, that meat has protein, and if it's eaten raw, and which I don't recommend because the meat's too you know, it's who knows what's in it these days. But you could be missing tryptophan because it's heat volatile. So if you heat that meat up to 250 degrees for a long period of time, you lose that. Now, what does tryptophan do? It's an amino acid or a protein that builds up serotonin. And when you have a depletion of serotonin, then you have depression.
And so, don't you also sleep with that tryptophan?
Exactly. So tryptophan is involved in creating the dream chemicals, melatonin, dimethyltryptamine, that kind of thing. So tryptophan is critical, and it's heat volatile. In fact, it starts going off at 112 Fahrenheit, which is pretty low.
I was used to wonder during Thanksgiving why all the elders of the family were always asleep 2 hours or so after eating their turkey dinners. It's probably because of that, isn't it?
That is. It's a big, because one of the highest natural sources of tryptophan, well, there's two huge sources. One is turkey. Guess what the other one is? Cacao beans.
Oh, wait a minute now. So you've just for 2 hours, you've been telling us to eat these beans, and now you're saying it's going to put us to sleep?
No, it doesn't. Well, the thing about cacao is it has enough stimulating properties that it doesn't put you out. That's, you know, like people have coffee in the morning, but when do they have their hot cocoa? They have it at night. Why? Because it keeps you stimulated and awake, but not amped out of your mind where you're like ready to jump out of the car and like, you know, attack the guy in the, you know, in the traffic jam or something.
What do you think of iced tea?
I think tea can be very good, and I think you can do an iced tea in a way that's super, super healthy and awesome. If you use honey as a sweetener or agave cactus nectar. You ever heard of that?
I have not heard of
that's what they use in Mexico, and you use that with lemon, and you make your tea. You use the agave cactus nectar. Now, if you distill agave, you know what that is?
No.
That's tequila.
Well, I don't want to do that.
So that's the raw form of tequila, and that makes it a heck of an iced tea.
What are breatharians?
Breatharians are people, either A, they kind of got so cleaned out on their diet that they basically got down to eating very little or hardly anything at all or nothing. And I know a few people like that who start out with like vegetarian and raw food diets and cleansing, and after a period of years basically stopped eating and do eat a little bit, but not much. That's one type of breatharian. That's A. B, this is an actual phenomenon that I have seen out there. There's people out there who've been they were visited by some kind of spiritual entity or something, some kind of spiritual phenomenon, where they're given like a power not to be able to eat anymore, where they don't need to eat anymore. And that's another type of breatharian. And those people are out there, and probably the most famous one who's around right now, there's a guy, HRM, who's running around, and he does the sun gazing. He gets his energy from the sun by looking at the sun when it rises and when it sets. That's kind of a big thing these days amongst the kind of the exotic health crowd. And then there's a woman in China named Xu Fang, who is another woman like this, and she basically doesn't need to eat food. And it's a real phenomenon. It happens out there. It's rare, but it is out there.
Does she drink liquids?
She does drink liquids occasionally, but not very much. Definitely less than you could believe that someone could even live on. HRM actually was studied for some 400 and something days, I think, by NASA. If you get on the internet and kind of Google around about sun gazing and that kind of thing, you'll find him. And they did a study on him, and they were completely astonished by his ability to not eat. And he's a spiritual kind of a breatharian person.
I've heard of him, and he really, though he's thin, he's not like gone.
Right, he's got something going on. I mean, you can tell if there's, you know, he's got a little sparkle or something's going on there. There's in this exotic food world and raw food world, you do get in touch with kind of what's going on in the planet in terms of the magical side of things. There's the ancient Earth had real magic. You know, we somehow got lost with science and technology and everything, but it's still here a little bit.
Well, I got to tell you, David, it is remarkable if you can at least start changing your habits and start feeling better. I've always said that there are two most important things in this world, and that's your family and your health, and you got to have them both.
I think you're right on, and it's really all about love, isn't it? Because if, like, self-love, that's health, and love right outwardly is your family. So I think you're right on with that. I think the root of all disease, really, why people eat the wrong food, why they do the wrong things and just do stupid stuff, is it's some kind of a self-esteem issue or a lack of self-love because of emotional problems with their parents or something going on with the husband or wife or something there. So, you know, you hear that all that disease is spiritual. It is, but indirectly in that way.
Is there anything that you can overdo that could hurt you with some of this?
You can. Yeah, I've overdone a few things. I think the biggest problems you have to watch out with raw food is you have to be careful with real high fat stuff like nuts. I mean, you eat too many nuts, you go nuts.
Yeah,
that's
and
true.
You get stomach aches and things like that.
Yeah,
don't you?
I mean, it's like a brick in there. And you know, 5 days later, and you're in the bathroom, it's finally coming through, and it's just like you know, you feel like you're never going to do that again.
I was on a plane last week, and they started handing out peanuts to people. And they got through a third of the people on the plane, came back and collected everything because someone had an allergy to peanuts. But this I had never heard before. I've always been told that if you had an allergy, you just can't eat it. Apparently, this person was so sensitive, David, that if she smelled the peanuts, she'd get ill.
Whoa.
And they had to collect them all. I've never, ever have heard of that before.
It's funny that you bring that up because this has been a topic of conversation recently. As I'm getting more involved in the food industry, peanut allergies are on the rise hugely. And I really feel like the reason is because people are getting more toxic from all the chemical solvents in the food, in the environment, in the water, the plastics, all this kind of stuff is toxifying the liver. So the sensitivity to food, like stuff that's troublesome, for example, dairy or peanuts or sometimes wheat, is becoming even worse than ever before. And with peanuts, you got to be really, really careful. In fact, a lot of airlines are now serving pretzels. They got out of the whole peanut thing because they were scared.
No, you're right about that. Absolutely. The world is trying to change food-wise, aren't they?
I see it happening. It's like there's a polarization occurring. And you know what I mean? It's like death, pain, fire, destruction, wars, greed, famines, all that kind of stuff is happening on the planet worse than ever before. But on the other side of it, we like all the greatest foods from around the world, cacao coming from Central America. There's a food from the Andes Mountains. It's a type of radish called maca, which is now available in America, which, I mean, you talk about a food that's out the window and its power and strength. This is one. Goji berries coming from the Himalayan region. You know, this is one of the top foods in the Chinese medicinal system. Pine nuts coming from Russia. All the great foods from the great regions of the earth are now available to us. So everything is balanced in the universe. We can't get too hung up on whatever. Everything's against us, conspiracies, whatever. And I do believe in all that. But we got to be on the other side and saying, hey, look, we got it better than ever now, too. The fact that people can get information like this is proof positive that, hey, you know, the angels are with us or something's going on.
Well, it is pretty dramatic, isn't it? You want to stick around for some phone calls next, David?
Definitely.
All right, we will do that. We'll open up the phone lines. David Wolf, our guest. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.